My guest today is pianist-composer Matthew Shipp. He's a musician whose unique style makes you listen intently to the intricate and forceful way he threads ideas, like embroidery, creating a strangely compelling pattern. Which you do, Matthew.
Right, well, I like to be felt also.
To be listened to.
I like to be listened to and felt. And, hopefully, if what I'm doing is successful on any given night, it hits people on many different levels. That's one of my aims, is to be all-encompassing, to give some people, the listener, something to intellectually take in and spiritually uplift, and to hopefully they'll have fun.
Well, that's good, and we can do something right away to let people hear how you play, which is very interesting. Very interesting. Right.
Well, there's a lot of facets to what I do. My personality kind of morphs over a given period of time, and right now I'm kind of into the introspective modern form of playing. So.
Oh, you are?
Yeah. I'm trying to find a quiet place within myself to let the music emanate from. I'm definitely see myself as a music meditationist, even though a lot of people don't see me that way. That's how I see myself.
I think that's a great aim for your playing, and the whole thing, the way you said it. Now, this piece that you wrote down, Patmos, that's from the record?
Right, that's from my solo piano album called One.
I'm looking forward to hearing it.
Right.
So play and I'll listen.
Okay.
So will everybody else. I wanted to find out a few things, like how did you get started playing? I mean, I think I read where you started when you were about five.
Right. My parents are Episcopalian, and the organist used to play this theme that was kind of like a Gregorian chant type of thing that they use in the procession a lot. And it was just so arresting to me, this one theme. So,
Where did you hear that?
At church.
At church.
Right. But It was very ecclesiastical, like Episcopalian music, not gospel.
You heard that as a little kid?
Yeah, as a little kid, and I just wanted to be an organist. And so I approached the church organist, and she said, you should learn how to play piano first. So I started taking lessons.
You mean you went and spoke to the organist?
Yeah, I wanted to, I wanted to testify.
Yeah. Oh, that's wild.
But I started with, just classical lessons with the organist. And then the way I got into jazz was when I was 12, PBS had a lot of specials on different specials. And I saw Ahmad Jamal play, and something about it just really affected me very deeply. Then I saw Nina Simone on a PBS special also when I was 12, and I just decided that I wanted to check out jazz. And my parents had a decent record collection, so that definitely helped.
So did your parents like jazz?
Oh, yeah. I'm from Wilmington, Delaware, and my mother was friends with Clifford Brown. She went to high school with him.
Oh, really?
Right. So, I used to hear stories about Cliff, and my parents had briefly met Monk when I think he got arrested in my state.
In Delaware. I wouldn't be surprised.
Right. And so I think they met him very briefly when he was, and it was funny because my mother is, you know, she's like really into Earl Gardner's, who she likes.
Oh, she is.
But and Monk was, I guess, kind of weird, but she really related to his character more than, I don't know if she like listened to the music, but she kind of grasped that he was an idiosyncratic type of a free thinker, and that was very important, even if you like didn't necessarily get the music. She really grasped that aspect of him and talked him up.
That he was a free thinker?
The instrument and in his life, and somehow he fused how he lived his life with the character that he created on his instrument. It's just really interesting that, like, you know, that she really grasped that and talked about it. And even though, like, I never saw her actually listen to a Monk
album. So your mother must be quite a deep-thinking person. So anyway, it's all fascinating to me. How about we should play, or rather, you should play another tune.
I've been promoting and doing concerts off of my new solo album, which is called One, which is on One. There's all originals.
I love that label name, Thirsty Ear.
Thirsty Ear is the name of the label.
I like that.
Right. But I've been on that album. There's all originals, but in my concerts, I occasionally do my own. How could I put it? idiosyncratic version.
That's a good word.
Of standards. So, I was at a poetry reading last night, and one of the poets in her poem started talking about Frank Sinatra. So that triggered Angel Eyes. So maybe I'll do a version.
That's a good idea. Right. Yeah, Matt Dennis would be very pleased, since he wrote the tune. Well, have at it. Be happy to listen.
Thank you.
I read somewhere you were very interested in boxing.
Oh, I'm a boxing fanatic, yes.
You're a boxing fanatic?
Yes.
Do you go to...
No, but I keep up very closely, and I am, you know, TV, I don't really go live.
Well, what about that thing they're doing with the cage?
You mean UFC, the Ultimate Fighting?
Is that what that is?
Something called Ultimate Fighting, which is no holds barred. It's mainly mixed martial arts and people with different backgrounds, wrestling backgrounds, jiu-jitsu, judo backgrounds, and whatever. And it's very brutal. I'm actually a fan of that also.
Yeah, you are a fan of that?
Yes, I am.
I wonder you attack the piano. It's very brutal.
Well, I mean, the thing about those things, there are spectacles, and it's at its best moments, there's a dance-like quality to it because it is movement, it's dance and rhythm.
And, that's true.
And unpredictability, because if you're predictable, you're going to get knocked out. So you're.
That's true.
So I managed to find some correlation, not just with the brutality, but with the poetic aspects of it that you have to sometimes search for, but they're there. And also, for somebody to go in the gym and to train to do those things, I'm always just interested in the individual psyches and their motivation. You know, because you had to really be motivated to go get punched in the head every day and try to get money by getting punched in the head.
It's incredible. Well, you can watch that stuff and then you can go to the piano and play something beautiful.
Well, I mean, Miles Davis was a boxing fan. And
he was, wasn't he?
Yeah, and I mean, a fanatic, actually.
He was. In fact, he was. That gives me in my mind's eye, I see Miles standing on the pavement outside the old Birdland, and getting ready to get into it with somebody. He was going to give somebody the old one too.
Right. Now, see, that's where I draw the line, because I haven't been in shape for a long time as far as real, like, so I you know, I don't want to hurt my hands also. So.
I should say not. My goodness. We'd better stop talking about boxing and have you play a tune. How about one of your tunes?
Okay, I'll do Module from my album One.
Great. From that label, The Thirsty Ear. I love that name.
Right.
Okay. Hear the full Piano Jazz broadcast. Tune in next week to your NPR station. Log on to pianojazz.org to find a station in your area. Piano Jazz is a production of South Carolina ETV and Radio. Support for Piano Jazz comes from the National Endowment for the Arts, the Friends of Piano Jazz, and NPR.